Let's look at one verse here, verse number 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father in heaven, Lord, we certainly do love you. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we ask your blessing now upon this time, Lord, that you would guide in everything that is said. Help me to stay true to your word. Help me to preach in a way, Lord, that will be effective, that your spirit can use. Don't let me hinder it. And Lord, so please bless and work. May you be glorified. Use this to strengthen us and draw us closer to you. I do pray, Lord, if there's anyone here who has never genuinely been converted, Lord, I pray that this morning they would repent and place their faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, please work, and I love you. I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Again, I started this message last week, and so I will finish it up here this morning. Last week, by introduction, I talked of how the devil began a serious attack on the family, going back in Western culture, especially in America, early 20th century. Again, some of the foundation for that we can trace back to the 19th century. And there's always been an attack on the family, but there was this, we can see coming to fruition an active strategy that was taking place that was really starting to take hold, the foundation of it in the early 20th century. And one of the first phase of his attack was the idea, one, of getting mom out of the home. Even back then, do you understand this false idea of gender equality was coming into play? It was already taking place there. But somehow lessening the position of a mother, of getting the culture to believe that somehow the position of a mother and the responsibility that a mother has is somehow less than a career. And missing the whole point of what life is all about between God and our relationships. Well, the mother in the home is guiding those relationships and building and strengthening and lessening the importance of that. Again, when life is about these relationships, being able to, our employment is just, it's just a means to an end. It's not what life is about. It's not. And the idea was you're not going to be fulfilled. No, that's not true. If you will follow God and serve Him and look at our God-given responsibilities, you will find what you're here for. You will see purpose. You'll have joy in those moments. We understood how the devil then had a whole new series of weapons to use against us that at least since the flood, and maybe prior to the flood, we just don't know, but at least since the flood, has never been in place. Where he had all these different avenues with which to attack our home, to get a hold especially of teenagers' hearts, from music to television to as technology increased, to different time stealers and video games, the access nowadays of pornography. So many different methods at his disposal. We saw also another key tool at his disposal was the rise of sports. Where it's almost becoming, and don't, I love sports. But it became a level where it was almost God in the home. Where all of a sudden our children were wanting to emulate sports athletes. What in the world? That's just something that, again, when it's taken out of place, a position it should be in, now becomes sin. When in and of itself, it's not sin. I enjoy sports. But you know what? If my kids are watching me watch Ohio State lose to Michigan, and they see me pitch a fit, something's wrong. Now, they rarely had to see that. But the things that should affect me at that level should not be sports. Listen, I believe all this happened because Dad allowed it.
I mean, let's face it. I mean, if the wife's working, that's two incomes coming in the home. I can get that boat. Again, priorities began to become misplaced, and we were lacking the importance of the home structure with how God designed it. So last week, I'm trying to give 10 qualities of being a godly dad. And many of these you'll see apply with any of us wherever you're at with your walk with God. I was applying it, though, to fathers in particular. Last week we covered one, a godly father needs to be right with God. Where the children are seeing that the parents' desire to be right with God, his love for mom, his desire to serve God, seeing life is about God. Number two, we dealt with the importance of dad having a strong prayer life. I mean, raising kids now, that is one of the keys to it, is you on your knees praying for your children. And that still continues to this day, by the way. And it also continues for all my grandchildren, by name every day. Ryan, you get to be first in that list. So I skip you really quick. I do not. I remember for my kids, pray, of course, start with their salvation. And Lord, I just pray that they would love God and serve Him and serve Him because they love Him. They need that strong prayer life for your children. We dealt with last week the need to correct your children. Your children are going to sin. It happens. We have to follow biblical instruction in how to go about it. And doing it the right way. It's not about injuring your child. It's not about hurting your child. No, never. It's about following what the Lord directs and giving us as we do discipline our children. And I dealt with that last week. And I'll get more into that, by the way, parents, more specifically as we're going through this series, actually probably starting next week on disciplining your children. So I will cover that more. This is just a quick mention of it is all. Then we also dealt with last week, the fathers need to have a strong family devotional time, Deuteronomy 6:7. And the importance of that, of having that in place, and I dealt with different principles of it and how to go about that, and I'll deal more with that also in the parent series. Using it as a time that the kids look forward to, not that they look down to. Don't come through and, you know, read Bible, you know, for 20 minutes. And don't make it so it's something to look forward to. Where it's not about fun and entertainment. Don't get me wrong, not that. But they have some excitement towards it. And you can mix this. I was thinking this morning, and I was going back over this and study and prep for this morning, a family came to mind when I was in New Mexico that I knew well. And parents, don't do this. You're going to imprint in your children the wrong view of God. For discipline, when a child did something wrong, part of the discipline was to memorize Scripture. What in the world? Should they be memorizing Scripture? Yes. Absolutely. That should be taking place. But not as a form of discipline. You've been bad. This is what I'm going to do. They're going to associate that with that paddle. I want them to have joy when it comes when they think of God. Not as God up in heaven ready to come down on them and their wretchedness. But where there's a balance between a genuine, true fear of God and a love for Him. We dealt with last week the need for fathers to be consistent. Job 1:5, Ephesians 6:4. One, that's dad being consistent with his walk. With his walk with God. His devotions, his faithfulness to church. And then, of course, consistency across the board and correction and whatnot. We dealt with that. And then I was finishing up with this one last week, so I'm going to start here and we'll go on. I just mentioned this one last week and we'll continue. I finished up with this. Godly fathers need to spend time with their children. Listen, time goes fast. It does. Our life, its truth, as a vapor. It appeareth while and vanisheth away.
Set aside time for your children. Don't just keep pushing them off and pushing them off and pushing them off. Don't keep saying, maybe next time, maybe next time.
Before you know it, they're 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, 11 years old, 12 years old.
Time goes fast.
Again, this will become a measure of regret if you don't follow it.
Make some time with your children.
Another thing, look over in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 5.
Verse number 8 says, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel.
All right, dads, another thing that's important to be a godly dad is to keep your family financially secure.
Use wisdom with your finances.
Fathers, praying for God to give you wisdom and how you financially guide your house.
To be able to budget correctly.
Because financial trouble can put way too much stress in a home.
And then when that takes place, it opens the door to all kinds of anxiety within that home.
Many times when that takes place, the wife and the children pay the price.
Use wisdom with your finances.
Young couples, I strongly encourage you, avoid credit card debt.
If you can't afford it, don't buy it. You don't have to live like mom and dad. You're just starting off. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
We think that marriage security comes by all those things. It doesn't.
Not at all.
Don't allow extra stress to come in the home because of a measure of debt.
You don't need everything your mom and dad have in 2 years. You don't.
Number 8. Godly fathers need to teach their children responsibility.
The children, those sons and daughters that God has given you are there for a reason.
We have to teach them what it's about to be a responsible person.
I mean, think of what's happening in our culture right now in this victim age. As multitudes are growing up thinking everything's simply owed to them. They're a victim of everything.
Teach responsibility.
Teach them, when you can give them age-appropriate work. Give them age-appropriate work. Something that they can do. You know, when they're small, that's a sign-in, of course, starting with their bedroom. Make sure that's cleaned up. Give age-appropriate work. And you know what? And they're not going to want to do it.
Well, that's true. There's still time. You're an adult. There's times. Paul, Lord, you want to go to work every day?
Yeah, exactly.
Just like your kids aren't going to want to clean the room every day.
That's called being responsible. It's when we do things that are right because they're right, not because we want to do them or don't want to do them.
It's not letting feelings and emotion guide decisions. It's about what's right guiding decisions.
So teach your children a measure of responsibility. Give them age-appropriate work.
Teach them how to use money.
How to use money, let me say this right, properly.
Be careful. Don't put in your children's heart that money is God. That money, what it's all about.
That's what you have to, there's different ways the devil can attack this. Where all of a sudden they see that before dad, mom, this is what's most important.
No, you're sowing a wrong seed in your children's lives.
(Clears throat)
It's teaching them how money is not to be your God, but it is to be used with God-given wisdom. Along the idea of responsibility, you teach them, you give them age-appropriate work, how to use money. This one's important. Teach them, in order to be responsible, the value of time. Time is so much more important than even earning that dollar. Time you never, ever get back. It's gone. And there's different ways you can use that. One, using devotion time to stress at the value of time and the precious time that we have, redeeming the time and letting them see that in your life. It is, and the devil's a master today at time stealing, isn't he? And like I was just reading, was it a couple weeks ago? Maybe this has been out for years, but I just read it recently that they believe there's an actual dopamine high from all the scrolling on the different apps that actually produces a genuine addiction, releasing a dopamine high in the brain. And all of a sudden, it just steals your life. Hours. Hours. And the brain's hooked. And life is wasting. Now, however you decide to do that, it's fine, but you have to teach the value of time. Within my household, what I did to try and demonstrate that was, I didn't want to make it to where it was. I still wanted to enjoy life, and even different pleasures that were there. So if they had a video game, they were given 30 minutes a day, and that was it. Done. I was fine with that. That's all you get. You get that amount of time. And I would stay consistent with it. By the way, it's so much easier for your young parents if you start that way. Start that way. So much better. I mean, really, I think we need to understand what a disadvantage many times kids are at today. Growing up, that wasn't even an issue. We were outside doing stuff. You were outside building forts and on your bikes and traffic. I mean, that doesn't hardly exist today in families. Teach them the value of time. Teach them how there are things out there that will steal what little time they have on this earth. In order to be responsible, you also have to teach them the consequences of sin. And it's true, there's pleasure in sin for a season. But boy, the end thereof. Number 9. Godly fathers need to show their children that there is joy in serving God. I remember when I was reading in Deuteronomy, came across this, and I'd already read through it, I don't know how many times. I was probably 25-ish, somewhere in that area, 25, 26, 27. I don't remember when, but I just know somewhere back in my 20s. Going through the Bible, my just daily devotion times, usually I'd go through a couple times a year. And I was in a portion of Deuteronomy where all of a sudden, I had to go back and I'm like, wait, what did I just read? And it dealt with the fact of how God wanted us to serve with joy. That's what he wanted. Not out of law, but out of joy. Father, show your children the joy in serving God. Again, we're going through different reasons we lose our children in the Sunday school lesson, but for those, many times for those children who are saved and struggle, sometimes it is because they never actually saw joy in serving God in the home. They saw joy in everything else. Everything else that could produce joy, but not God. And listen, this is important. If your children see you coming into church and you're shouting amen at church and all excited, you better be the same at home. They better not see that's just something you put on when you come to church. If your children see you pray at church, they should see you pray at home. And so, Dad, even pray for those opportunities where your children can see in your life the joy there is in serving God. Where they can see a sense of joy about Dad. Let him hear at times you just talk. And you want your children to hear it, of how great it is to serve God. Not how miserable it is. What in the world? Especially if there is difficult times and tough circumstances and I get offended at Bob's ties every week. But I had to make sure when I got in the car, I didn't talk bad about Bob's ties. You get the point I'm driving at. Watch, be careful for what you're teaching your children. Let them know there's joy in serving the Lord. There is. I mean, really, there is nothing greater in the universe than serving the Creator. Nothing. But boy, if they all of a sudden start hearing you complain and 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 complain. I don't like this at church. We got those 1962 lights hanging up above the balcony. Man, when's the pastor going to fix those? Just complain. Man, he actually preached till like 12:10 today. What in the world? Oh, my watch stopped. It's 10 to 4. I went really long, actually. That's pretty interesting. 10 to 4. I didn't even notice this now. I can use that as a sermon illustration right now. Just came to mind. How many have no clue yet in your Christian life? It done stopped a while ago, but you just wear it because it's there. But anyhow, that's separate. Dad, listen, you are the one in the home that needs to show your children that the greatest life to live is God. They need to see that in you. How often is it? It's so true that children follow what Dad does. Listen, make no mistake. The devil will go to great lengths to get your children to see joy in something else. Great lengths. He'll want to form it in your kids' minds of how the home is just horrible. It's not, you know, and he's going to do his best. There's a genuine spiritual battle that takes place. Don't be ignorant of it. The devil will come along, and you have to be on the lookout for this and protect him and guard. He will present fake pearls before their life. Something to give their life for. The devil is great at making that forbidden fruit look really, really good. And it fits perfectly with our sin nature. And number 10. Luke chapter 1. Look at verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now get this, look at verse 6. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. You know what John the Baptist grew up with, dads and moms? he grew up with a great example. A great example. Dads, be that example to your children. Be the role model they need. Be something that they do want to emulate. Listen, that's easy, by the way, when they're 3, 4, and 5 years old. It is. And you should be their hero then. It's a lot of fun. I'm glad where my kids are. I'm enjoying my children as adults. I'm enjoying watching them raise their kids. I'm enjoying hearing as Levi's getting off on his own and preaching different places right now. I'm enjoying that greatly. So I don't want to change that. But when I do think back when the family, one thing that I miss is, like I said, when living right over here and the children were all small, right over here with Daniel, Heather, Rachel, and Bethany. Bethany had been just a baby and starting to walk and coming home and having those kids come running. Man, I look forward to that every day. Daddy's home coming. Bam, getting jumped on and attacked. I would make it to the couch and sit down, and two of the girls, usually it would be Heather and Rachel on each side, both with a sippy cup and right next to me and twirling her hair. Bethany trying to crawl on my lap. I loved it. Loved it. It was easy then to be their role model. They really couldn't see any sin in Dad at that age. They couldn't. But the day would come when they get older where they can recognize sin in Dad. Where they do see he's not perfect. Sunday school, I dealt with the importance of having humility in the home. What your kids need is not perfection. If that's even what you're trying to present before them, you're setting them up for failure. They need to see mom and dad like we see here with the example that John the Baptist had growing up. A mom and dad whose life was about God. It was about him. That's what they knew. That it, with that balance in the home of seeing the joy that was serving God. It wasn't like, okay, kids, we're going to church because it's right. Let's go. Joy. Maybe getting in the car because you have children, because you have a 9-year-old sitting there getting in the car, and looking at mom, the kid's mom, right next to you as you're driving out, for the benefit of the children, and saying, man, that message, I needed that. This point right here. I've been struggling with that. Let him hear it. Let him see where God's working. Let your children see where mom and dad are working. Like, give them an example. Again, it's not perfection, but so much is direction. Listen, and kids need that. I think it's 2 Chronicles 26, it's several places. If I don't find it here, I can actually find it in several. But let me read one verse here before I finish. Let me see. If it's not, I can probably find one because it's in several places. Yes, this one will work. Uzziah. Okay. I'm just going to read. You don't have to turn there. 2 Chronicles 26:4. It says this. Speaking of Uzziah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. The example of dad. The example of dad. I remember it just came to mind now in closing, Brother Weaver sitting back there. And his life is much different than it was just a couple of years ago. And I don't know if you remember this, brother, but I remember one of the times as the Lord was really working in your life and changing, you were getting excited. And I'd said to you, I said, brother, this is coming at such a, I don't know if I used the word critical, important time might have been what I said, important or critical time because of your daughters. Of them being able to see a changed dad. At the ages they were at. The timing of the Lord is so good. And it is. It's so important that they see that. And let me stress this. We all mess up. If it wasn't for God's grace in any of our lives, we would have no hope at any of this. None. you just pick up and you start doing right. That's, you repent, apologize, and start doing. All of us mess up. Don't use that as an excuse to stay down. Well, I'm just going to mess up. You know how many times I hear that? Well, I'm just going to mess up, so why try? What is wrong with you? Because of God, that's why. You have His help, you have His grace. It's why we have 66 different books in the Word of God. It's why we have 1,144 chapters. To help us how we handle failure. To keep going, to keep going. It's such a privilege that God gives us to be parents. I mean, the pinnacle of God's creation is mankind. And God has chosen you, these children. Raise them for the Lord. With heads bowed and eyes closed.